Welcome. You're listening to the Profiles in Leadership podcast with Steve Anderson, sponsored by VGM Advantage. This is Season 1, Episode 3. I'm your host, Steve Anderson, and today we'll be speaking to Sandra Norby, a physical therapist from Iowa, and we will be discussing private practice in rural Iowa and how she has impacted the physical therapy profession on the national level. Sandra Norby is a physical therapist and co-founder of Hometown Physical Therapy. This Iowa-based corporation provides a practice model for ownership and leadership by physical therapists. Sandra has served on many leadership positions in APTA and PPS, including being a member of PPAC and 2 terms as a director on the PPS board. She was awarded the 2017 APTA Federal Advocacy Leadership Award for her instrumental work on making locum tenens a reality for physical therapists. Sandra received her physical therapy master's degree from the University of Iowa and her DPT from the University of Montana in Missoula. She has an expertise in compliance and billing and has been a speaker at many state and national events on topics that include compliance, technology, leadership, and champion the success of women in physical therapy. Welcome, Sandy. It's great to have you on the podcast today. How are you doing out there in Iowa?
I'm doing great, Steve.
Well, thanks for being on the program. Let's just start out by sharing with our listeners how you started your own physical therapy clinic in small town Iowa.
That's a great question. It's been a fun journey. Back in 1989, when I was in my final semester at the University of Iowa in my master's program, I was able to take an entrepreneurial class and actually wrote a business plan for Siouxland Physical Therapy. And 16 years after that, I was able to actually make that dream become a reality when we opened our first clinic, Lamar's Physical Therapy, in my hometown of Lamar's, Iowa.
And how for our listeners, how big a town is that? What's the population?
That's a great question. Population is about 9,500. We have the fame of being the home of Wells Blue Bunny Ice Cream.
Oh, nice.
Which is owned by the Wells family in Lamar's. And they're our biggest employer. We do have quite a few people that live in surrounding areas. Sioux City, which is, I think, about 80,000 people. A lot of our executive and upper management people actually live in that community and drive into Lamar's for work. So there's a lot of industry that supports that company, from containers to cookie and wafer companies that we've been able to get in and do some work comp with as well. And one of the things that was unique is we actually built a building for our clinic. I really wanted to make a statement to the community that we were there to stay and not just a window or a fly-by-night kind of thing, that we made a commitment with the community and got some grants, through our community, through their business development that were very helpful as well.
Yeah, well, that's definitely important to small towns to know that you're there for the long run, I would think.
Yes, it has been. And since then, we've actually grown to 6 clinics. One of our first therapist hires was Monica Albers. And when she joined us within a first year, we opened in Lamar. She was very transparent that she also wanted to be a clinic owner. And 2 years after that, we were able to partner with her in a community of Orange City, Iowa, which is about 30 minutes north of Lamar. Similar setup where there's a critical access hospital, and then our clinics in each of our communities were the only freestanding other physical therapy option for those communities.
Yeah, it's a great story. And who gave you the confidence, or what gave you the confidence to jump into that high-risk world of owning a small business? Because as we know, if you look at statistics, many of them don't make it. So where'd that come from?
Yeah, thanks. We actually are in our 11th year in Lamar, so that's good to reflect on. And I have to give several people, but mainly the most important is my husband, Kim, who had an extreme amount of confidence in my ability. And he's a CIO-level businessman, so that was also very helpful from our business back, aspect and financials. When we made the decision to open Lamar's physical therapy, we attended our local Chamber of Commerce Awards night, and one of our bankers in the community won the Small Business Banker of the Year Award for the state of Iowa. So we knew that's who we had to go talk to, and brought him our business plan the next week, and he read it and said, well, let's go through the SBA to finance it, and if they won't finance it, I will, because this is exactly what the community needs. And we've really been blessed with bankers in each of our communities, because we try to keep all of our business local, you know, as much as we can in that community. It helps drive some referrals, you know, because we have those business relationships, and everybody has been definitely very supportive. But I tell you what, I was blessed to have parents who raised three daughters to teach them to be independent and go after their dreams. So they're probably my first go-to mentors on being able to be successful in this venture.
Yeah, that's awesome. And it really is all about relationships. I mean, isn't it true that, meeting the banker or building a relationship or building relationships within the community, those become invaluable when you're trying to build a business?
Oh, they are extremely important, especially in our area. And I tell this, and obviously other private practice owners know this, we don't have any financial ties with physicians or hospitals. So, it's our reputation and our, you know, our ability to be involved in our communities that really makes a difference.
You know, it's a real common pitfall in business is where, you know, the owner has success and then assumes that, oh gosh, I can reproduce this in another facility, and then they expand and that often becomes their downfall. So you've had a very different experience. So how do you make it work by running multiple sites? And how does that, you know, you can only be at one place at one time. So how does that work, and how have you made it successful?
Yeah, that's a great idea, because our geographics, we're about 3-hour drive from our far-reaching clinic. So you're exactly right. Technology is a significant part of our business. So we have a parent business also called Hometown Physical Therapy, and Hometown Physical Therapy provides all of the billing, compliance, human resources, payroll, bill pay, those kinds of things for all of the clinics. And that's actually what my husband Kim and I run. And being a payment policy and compliance expert, you know, that's one of the benefits that each of these community or the clinics get from that is some really high level knowledge and payment policy, which helps, you know, our revenue attainment as well. But we're very process oriented. We have kind of made it a cookie cutter, I guess, you know, probably like the McDonald's franchise, where when a clinic joins us, it's mirrored, all the administrative processes are mirrored to the other ones. And that's, I think, really been very successful, because when we tap into any company, we don't have to say, okay, now how does Orange City do that? Or how does North Iowa do this? Or what do they call that? So it's, you know, we're very anal about our processes, so it makes it very efficient, you know, for us to be able to run that way.
So how does it, if you don't mind me asking, how does it work in the other clinics? So is it, is there an ownership position for those people that are running those, or do you own all six clinics, or you know, how does it work from a business perspective? With, you know, I'm not asking you to divulge all your details, but just give us a general idea.
You bet. That's been an evolution for us as well. So our second and third clinics, Orange City and North Iowa Physical Therapy, are 50-50 partnerships with the people that manage them, and are the people in that place, Monica Albers and Tyann Benkin. Clinics number 4, 5, and 6, Kim and I do own 100%, and we have managers running those. And our managers at two of the locations do want to buy in. And in fact, just last week, we had a phone conference with Paul Welk, one of our well-known PTJDs, about how we're going to structure a buy-in for those managers and for future managers. Really, it's our goal to have this company be a legacy company, and we want our people to be able to buy in and continue to carry it on after we retire. So we know we need to start that process now, so that when we're ready to step out of the business, then those individuals can take over their clinics and continue to run them.
That's a really interesting concept, because I think a lot of our peers are, you know, they build these nice physical therapy businesses, and then the easier event, and probably the more lucrative one is to sell to a bigger fish or to sell to a physical therapy company, so to speak. But you've chosen to go the legacy route. So what's tell me a little bit more about that. Why not go easier and make more money?
I'm just a real passionate champion for physical therapist-owned businesses. So nothing against the big corporations. We all have our track in life and being able to go to sleep at night and feel good about your decisions you've made. But, part of the hometown physical therapy is really bringing hometown kids back to their hometowns, from communities that are 2,000 to 15,000 people. And, for them to continue to have ownership and live in their communities and then maybe mentor and bring in other awesome, talented kids in rural communities to come back home and take over their business when they're ready to retire. I think that's just really makes me, feel good when I put my head on the pillow at night that we're making a difference for our profession in the future.
Well, you should feel good. That's an awesome idea, and going forward, I admire you for that a lot. You have passion for supporting other women with leadership roles. You've become active at the state and national level in advocacy and leadership positions. And how can others follow your lead? How can you support other women, and how can they look at you and say, I'd like to be involved at that level as well?
It's inviting them to come along and encouraging them that their voice actually makes a difference as well. I go back to my upbringing. I never really was told no. I had supportive parents and who said, go for your dreams. And I think that's what I can help other women do as well. And, we're getting through, some entrepreneurial and venture things with my husband in another avenue that he's interested in. And it's opening a whole window of opportunities that I'm seeing for women entrepreneurs in this decade, of money, things that are supporting, contests, angel investors, all sorts of things. And so I think the opportunities for women to continue to be business leaders and be successful is even brighter in the future.
And I know that you're aware, because I've heard you talk about it, and I believe you were there last year as well. There's a women's summit for physical therapy, with at least a physical therapy bent to it, in New York City in September, which would be the second year of that. And that was a pretty impressive conference. I was one of the few males there, and it was great to hear the discussion and great to hear the challenges and the opportunities for women. Mm-hmm. In not only the physical therapy world, but the entire business world.
Yeah, thank you for being one of the men there. That was awesome. It was great to see you there as well. And this year they've invited me to be a speaker on their entrepreneurial panel.
Oh, great.
So I will be there this year, yes, and excited for the lineup. And, it's a good point. I try to look outside the physical therapy business profession because we really all have the same needs. We have sales. We have customers. We have overhead, we have payroll, all those kinds of things. So the speakers that they brought in from outside the physical therapy world, I think were really encouraging and kind of give a little different light to maybe our inner circle, on the big picture of being a leader and being a business leader.
Yeah, I think any time we can look outside our we get tunnel vision a lot of times, and I always say drink our own Kool-Aid too much a little bit sometimes. And so to see what other people are doing in other industries or other walks of life, I think opens our eyes and gives us ideas that maybe if we're too insular, we don't always see.
You're exactly right. Yeah.
You talked a little bit about your parents and how instrumental they were in your development and what you've done in life. But besides them, who are your heroes and mentors? Who do you look up to, and who do you feel has helped you along the way to help you accomplish what you have?
That's a great question. And one that I've thought a lot about my mentors, and actually I need to sit down and write some thank you notes. Mr. Peterson was my high school physics teacher. He was probably my first mentor. Dan Foster was my athletic training academic supervisor at the University of Iowa. Drew Blossom, who we both know and love, was an instrumental mentor of mine in the world of physical therapy, and Pam Duffy, who's a fellow Iowa physical therapist and leader in our profession. Those are my PT, and along the way mentors.
Yeah, that's awesome. It really makes a difference when we have people like that in our lives. And when you talk to people, it's just amazing how many bring up those educators, people that, definitely had a profound effect on ourselves and people we know. And it just highlights how important those teachers throughout our lives really are and what a difference they make.
Yeah, I'll have to tell you a little, maybe an embarrassing story, but Dan Foster in a senior seminar class of 10 of us told my classmates that I could probably be the best ever athletic training student at the University of Iowa if I just applied myself.
But you listened and you obviously applied yourself, right?
Yes.
That's great.
Every time I think, oh man, this, I get a little stress under my belt and thinking, okay, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. It's fine.
Yeah. No, I think we all need a boost once in a while on that. So. So what gets you up every day and gets you excited about the day? You talked a little bit earlier about the legacy piece and how important that is to you, but what else gets you excited about what you're doing?
This is a good time that you asked me to record this, because I've actually just retired from patient care, other than covering my local therapist vacation time. And I am just so excited about the business aspect of physical therapy and what can we do to help mentor other therapists in practice? Because I just see it as, we're just at the tipping edge of a big boom. And it was getting to the point where I was treating patients and I was thinking about all these cool spreadsheets I wanted to do. So I knew it was time for me to kind of hang up my hands, I guess, and let the young therapists that have amazing skills really work on the patients and get me more into working on our company instead of in it, and helping to continue to grow. We have two more sites in line that we'd like to have in before the end of 2018, and have a goal of 15 clinics probably within the next 5 years. So we got some work to do.
That's amazing. And having gone through that same position of giving up patient care and focusing more on the business side, it's not easy. It's, you spend a lot of time crafting those hands and perfecting your skills. So I know that's not an easy thing to do.
Yeah, 29-year, very good career. I know I chose my profession well, and it's time for me to get onto that next aspect, and I'm super excited about it.
That's great. What do you think are the toughest challenges for private practice PTs today?
It's getting those new patients in the door. There's a lot of competition out there. We see it. I mentioned the critical access hospitals. Communities need to have those hospitals make money and be in the area. A lot of chiropractors in my neck of the woods, with the home of the first chiropractic college in the United States, in our state. I'm just so amazed at how much physicians have no idea about what physical therapists can do to benefit their patients. And I think that's a huge challenge. And I'm not sure exactly where that change can come. I think it has to come in the physician's education, and can PTs get in early on into their education and make a difference in how they view that we can be an integral part of their patient's healthcare team.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. It seems like my experience has been that the physicians that have been patients themselves are often the ones that get it the most, which makes sense. But until that time, it's sometimes you feel like you're beating your head against the wall trying to show them what we can do and how we can work as a team and help their patients in the long run. But it's hard because it's not always absorbed from their end, I think.
No, and when I came into the community and practicing, and now I was astounded at how poorly they managed patients' pain. It was the very typical, opioids or pain meds for a week, come back, not any better, get an X-ray, come back in a week, not any better, an MRI, and maybe 6 weeks down the road you get to see the PT. And That's my personal challenge, is to get that changed here in this community. And actually, I've met with the hospital administrator to focus on that discussion already.
Yeah. You know, speaking of health issues, you had a major health scare a few years back. And how has that changed the way you approach your life and your business?
Yes. I'm a 7-year breast cancer survivor. I'm part of a really interesting group of women, and I'm very happy to be on the survivor end. And, you know, I think it really is, don't take anything for granted. I know I clear my schedule every year when I go back for my mammogram, because I'm never sure what they're going to tell me, you know, and just really being able to, you know, tomorrow may not happen for a lot of us, and, you know, make the best of what you have today and keep a positive aspect and attitude about the future.
Yeah, that's a great philosophy. Are you confident that private practice physical therapy can continue to thrive as this healthcare world of ours continues to evolve with all the changes?
I really am. And, you know, I think a big part of it, and one thing I haven't mentioned is that collaboration within our profession and outside of profession. So I think you're aware of the Midwest Therapy Network.
Yes.
I'm one of the founding clinics of 6 clinics in Iowa that we were like-minded business owners that came together, putting our competition on the shelf, and formed a network with a primary goal to be able to get outcome data, to be able to negotiate with payers for you know, better reimbursement from them, because we show that if they send their patients to our clinics, they're going to get the quality of care that they expect. And so through that partnership, there's some great things happening. It's been able to actually decrease our overhead, which I think is a big part of, you know, the future. We have to be pretty nimble, and maybe these big fancy buildings may not be the answer. You know, I've one of my clinic ideas is to have a clinic without brick and mortar. And I know there's a lot of PTs in the country that are doing that very successfully, you know, seeing patients in their home or at work and changing that place of service location. And just think of that. If you don't have a building and rent and electricity and a phone service, or, you know, to have to pay for, you know, you can really be able to set your schedule and enjoy practicing as a physical therapist and be highly successful.
You know, this comes up so often and in so many conversations in the last few years, and collaborating just seems to make sense, and it just seems like it's a no-brainer if you can come together and do things together and save economies of scale or get common ideas and whatever. But yet, it seems that PTs struggle with this a little bit. So, what's your take on that? Why is it not embraced as I guess myself and maybe others too feel it should be?
Okay, my honest answer is I think PTs are afraid of other practice owners, especially within their neighborhoods, and you know, I can understand that, but I come from the standpoint that, you know, if I can share my knowledge, it just makes our whole profession better. There's plenty of patients out there. That, you know, I'm not going to give somebody my market share is my thought if I'm collaborative with them. You know, we just, you know, it's putting PT on every corner if that's what we need to do by working together. So I think it's a little fear. If I open my doors to somebody else or my books, what are they going to, judge me if I ran a good business? Are they going to learn my little secrets I don't want everybody to know, or that type of thing? But I think fear.
Yeah,
kind of challenges
and it begs
people.
The question too. You know, it's let's be honest. It's so complicated right now with the compliance issues and the billing issues and the regulation issues and all that. That you know, I would wonder if you can do it totally alone. If you're a totally one standalone clinic and that's all you have, that's all the resources you're using. Mm-hmm. You know, it might be hard to do that. So collaborating in some way, shape, or form, you know, is just something that I think perhaps people need to feel better about embracing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'll share a short story that will support that, Steve, that our last clinic was an acquisition, and the gentleman's going to get ready to retire. But when we went in, you know, he was then a sole PT in a sole clinic, and he's not been able to really keep up on any of the compliance and billing laws and it's been an interesting experience to see. He's done well, but he could have done a lot better if he had just known some of the changes that had happened. And he was very frustrated and reached out to us to help him navigate through, you know, the rest of his time there. And he's just been flabbergasted on what you can do when you have some extra support and people that know what's going on.
Yeah, I think that's a common scenario that you've just described. Mm-hmm. So that's interesting. Now, you've been slated to run for president of the private practice section of APTA. The election is this November, and you are running unopposed. And that sounds like you are in a pretty good spot to head this section into the future. So has excitement or panic set in at this point?
I have a big smile on my face, Steve, so I'd say that's excitement. So
yeah, that's great.
Yeah, I'm very honored. Looking ahead to writing my position statement and campaigning at the venue in Chicago and even before that. And, you know, I know people are going to ask, well, you know, what do you think you're going to be able to bring? What's your legacy? And I really feel that I'm a bridge between our veteran leaders and the leaders that are the up-and-comings. And because I've been able to kind of straddle both worlds, with my technology love and social media, I totally embrace all of that stuff. I can understand and relate to the younger people and definitely have so much respect for our past leaders and such as yourself and asking advice and really being able to bring our profession and our association just even a little bit further in the next 3 years.
Well, that's awesome. And I can say from my perspective, having lived a lot in the private practice section over the years, that you've been one of those people that's always been there, always been willing to volunteer and share and give your expertise and work together as a team. And so to me, this is kind of a pinnacle of all those years of hard work and sacrifice that you've given to the PT profession. So good for you and good for us. And I'm excited to be there in November when it all comes together in Chicago.
Well, thank you very much, Steve. And it's going to be hard shoes to fill. You know that as well as I do. So
yeah, well, it's, we look back and people that have been there before us have set a good foundation. There's a lot of good things that happen in that section, and I think it's very definitely an important piece to APTA, and I think those that are members of the section know that and enjoy that. So, mm-hmm. It's a big responsibility. You put on some big shoes, but on the other hand, you can make a big difference and put your own mark on it as well.
I just think it's exciting.
So having said all that, what's next? What are you looking forward to in this next year and this the future as you go forward in this leadership role and your business? You said that you're going to continue to try and grow it and add more locations, it sounds like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. My managers really are looking for some really in more of an intensive mentorship from me. So I'm going to be able to actually visit them on site at least once a month and do some coaching in that way. And I'm actually also going to start my consulting company, Norby Consulting. I'm going to get some certifications in the Stephen Covey Avenue, and also Crucial Conversations is on my list of getting some certifications in. As far as the association, I have a real strong relationship with APTA President Sharon Dunn and APTA CEO Justin Moore, who's also a fellow Iowan, and really look at some good collaboration and seeing where PPS fits into the new building that APTA has announced that they're going to be putting together. Mm-hmm. I'd love to grow membership in PPS. We've been kind of stagnant for years and really figuring out how can we get these practice owners that have not had the taste of PPS and the networking opportunities and make it attractive for them. And I think once we can get them attending one thing, we're going to have them sold for the rest of their careers.
Yeah, that's awesome. What is it about the water in Iowa or something? Because for such a small state, I'm always impressed with how many people from Iowa are in leadership roles within our profession. You mentioned Justin Moore as one, yourself, Drew Bawson, Mike Horsfield. I mean, you just go on, and it's just it's pretty impressive. So it must be something going on good in that state in the Midwest, right?
Midwest, yeah. I guess, you know, we probably all grew up working pretty hard. And, again, you know, it's inviting people to the table. And, you know, Drew Bawson was the one that said, hey, Sandy, you need to get involved. And so we've just had a lot of active people that have had some good history. And we're close to our neighbors here, and we keep inviting people from Iowa, I guess.
Well, that's great. Well, Sandy, thanks so much for taking some time with us today. It was great talking to you, and it's nice to hear of your success and how you continue to grow and influence future leaders and also take care of those people in your community that desperately need the care and attention. So thank you so much, and I wish you the best of luck in the election in November, and it'll be here before you know it, I'm sure.
Thank you, Steve, and I really enjoyed being on your podcast and calling you a friend as well. And we'll see you in November for sure.
Absolutely. Okay, Sandy, have a great summer. Thank you.
Thank you, you too.
Thanks for joining us today, and be sure to check out our entire library of podcasts and videos at vgmadvantage.com. You have been listening to Profiles in Leadership Podcasts with Steve Anderson.